You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are watching and listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today's 4/19/21. Well, market, what's it doing here? Is it kind of grinding a little bit higher? How much higher can it really go? Or is it due for a pullback, which many of you out there think so? We'd like to get your opinion on it. Why don't you send us an email to my personal email address, kl@carrielutz.com. Right now, our good friend Chris Vermeulen is with us now. You'll find Chris at thetechnicaltraders.com. So, Chris, this market had an unbelievable run-up. People are starting to say things that they used to only reserve for real estate, like real estate always goes up. The stock market always goes up. If you're a millennial and you kind of skipped 2008 and 9, if you were a little too young back then, well, you believe you haven't ever lived through a bear market, basically. You only know that the market goes up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's why we're seeing the put call ratio so low. Everyone's buying call options expecting, you know, higher prices. I mean, you could argue we had a crash, a bear market back last February, March. I mean, it was a pretty deep correction. But the thing was, it happened so quick. Just as people panicked and started to realize, oh my gosh, something bad is really happening in terms of my account value, it rebounded with a vengeance and really saved everyone from a lot of people from pulling the trigger and really sinking in deep enough that we were in something. So yeah, this way this market has lured people in to think it's always going to go up. Eventually, there's going to be doomsday. And it's not going to be a 1 month, 2 month crash. It's going to be a 6, 8, 12, 18 month, you know, painful experience before it bottoms and then takes potentially years to claw its way back. And that's when, you know, traders really stand out from if you know what you're doing or you don't. Same with investors, right? There's times to be in the market and times when you should not be in. And unfortunately, people don't learn that until it's too late.
Yeah, it's so funny when you look at it because the first thing you should be doing on anything you buy is always calculating your downside. What happens if the trade busts? What happens if the market goes south? How much can you lose? Mm-hmm. Nobody makes that basic calculation anymore, except the real pros, right? Chris, I mean, when you make a trade, you're always looking at your downside first, right?
Yeah, we always know. I mean, we've got strategies. It's pretty much fixed. We don't really have to calculate much of anything. We already know, depending on the strategy, we're either going to take we're going to get out at a 6% pullback against us or a 15%, depending on how volatile the trade is. So it really comes down to position and risk management. And if you don't have that, you're really going to be screwed long term. That's the truth. I mean, a lot of people have been making money for years in the stock market, and eventually they're going to probably give it all back and then some when a bear market comes and things crash. And it's just the way, unfortunately, you know, individuals work. Nobody wants to think people don't want to get out of a trade and take a loss. It means you're wrong. It means you're a loser, right? It's a really tough pill to swallow. And I try and tell my followers and subscribers, I'm like, you know, getting stopped out is a good thing. It means you're following rules. And, you know, if you got to curse and swear and get up from your computer right when you hit that button and just swallow the pill and get out, just do it. I mean, you've got to. As much as I hate taking a loss, there's nothing better than getting out and being, okay, that is over. And then you can potentially see the price continue to collapse without you, because typically when it breaks down and breaks these levels, prices continue to crumble. So it feels good to be out knowing you followed the rules and watching things get worse afterwards. It's kind of a rewarding process if you can push that button and get out of that trade.
Hey, you know what they used to say, better to be a live coward than a dead hero.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, hey, looking at gold, it appears to be setting up, and the juniors especially, for a major, major advance. I've heard May is kind of going to be the month.
It could be. I think there's a lot of work to be done in terms of gold to, for me to be on like the real upswing. We want to see gold close and hold above 1860. That's kind of the 200-day moving average, but the real line in the sand is around 1970, 1966. Those are the two highs that we saw back in November and early January. It's also the midway point from the August to September consolidation in gold. It's a real pivot point on that chart. When we clear 1960, 1970 and hold above there, I think that's when we could see a huge move to the upside. To me, that's the new bull market is back in engaged to the upside. Major trends are should be in place. Gold miners should be leading the way, which they're showing signs of leadership already. Gold miners are outperforming gold, which is what we want to see. And GDX is outperforming the S&P 500 index just over the last couple of days, showing early, early signs that it might be, you know, the new rising kind of star sector to be in.
All right. So you're thinking it's got to go up quite a bit higher because right now it's what, like 1775 gold.
Yeah. And
you're saying almost another 100 points here.
It's a long ways up. I mean, I'm not a bottom picker. I'm not, as much as I love gold and silver, I have no problems paying a price for it when I know the trends in my favor. I'm not someone always trying to pick a bottom, which unfortunately most people do. They say, oh, this is, you know, as an investor, this is prime time to be getting in. But as a short-term trader, to me, this is carries a lot of risk. I think when it does break out, it'll be a lot like what we saw last year in June, July, where it started to break out of a consolidation. And then you see this massive rally to the upside. I like to jump in right when it's breaking out of a key level on a big pattern like this, because it means we're going to have a 1 to 2 month rally and you can throw more chips at it because it's more consistent. There's going to be better setups. The odds are more favorable. So that's what I'm looking for. But as a long-term investor, I mean, down at these levels, this is prime time to be buying gold and silver physical, I think, for long-term storage.
Yeah, for long-term storage, there's all sorts of rumors coming out of China. I don't know whether to believe them or not. I've only found it in one source that'll go unnamed, but that they're like telling everybody, banks, everyone, buy gold, buy gold. I think if that were really the case, you would have seen it go up a couple hundred dollars an ounce already.
Yeah.
If there was like a national gold policy in China, they've been accumulating the central bank, the government for over a decade now, but where they tell all the banks and everybody start accumulating gold, I think we would have seen a massive increase in the price of gold from when this supposed policy began.
Yeah, we're not seeing, you know, we're in the precious metals space, and everyone who's in the precious metals space that we know, I mean, everybody's getting excited, including myself, that this is, you know, on the verge of turning up, and we're seeing gold miners start a new uptrend here. So it's pretty exciting. But the reality is, even though we're all excited and we see the shift, the general public are nowhere near wanting to buy old school gold and silver yet. They're hypnotized by, you know, some of the fast swinging stocks and Bitcoin, and they haven't had a strike of fear yet in the stock market. Usually the stock market needs to start showing increased volatility and start to spook them of where to go. And I mean, there's a very small percentage of people in general who have gold in their portfolio. So we are, I think, years away from that. And that's why I think we're starting this mega kind of super cycle for commodities, precious metals. It's gonna be a long journey, hopefully to the upside for metals, and it should be pretty rewarding for those who are in and ride it up.
Yeah, long journey to the upside. I mean, when watching copper prices at all, you know, we're at 10-year highs nearly, and we're gonna probably go past that 465 all-time high at some point.
You look at copper, it's blasted to the upside. It's getting up to resistance. 450 is a pretty significant top on the chart. So it might be starting to get a little bit tired, but I mean, copper is up huge. You look at some of the other softs like lumber. I mean, lumber went from like 200 to 1300 and change. I mean, just a massive rally since since COVID. Right now, it's prime time. It's a feeding frenzy in the real estate market. Spring is when most builds start. It's when everybody's prepped their, you know, prepped for building and the roads open up. Here in Canada, I mean, you've got to wait a certain amount in May before you can bring full dump truck loads or dump full loads on the roads because they have frost and they're soft. So it's just this feeding frenzy. Everybody right now, they don't care. They've spent all their time and money to build their homes, their dream homes or their subdivisions, and they want to just put it in action. And they're all fighting over lumber. I mean, they're willing to buy and pay for it. And the prices are through the roof. And the lumber futures show that. It's just incredible.
So this is an interesting thing about Florida, because we don't do stick frame construction here as a rule because of the hurricanes, the bad weather. So most houses here are built CBS concrete block stucco. Yeah. You know, you just pile the blocks up, you put some rebar in them so they won't collapse during a hurricane, like during Hurricane Andrew. So the amount of lumber in a home here, probably 15% of what it would be in, say, New York and other places where they do wood construction. And, you know, like even in Arizona, they do it more for energy. They do block construction than they do wood because it gets so hot there. The block, the much better insulator. But it's interesting to see, though, like this real estate boom that came from the ashes of COVID.
Yeah,
really the one sector that like in Florida here, they considered it vital infrastructure. So they never shut down any construction sites. There might have been people who stopped working at them for fear of COVID, but construction was considered the infrastructure projects, and they just said you got a social distance, and that's when you're building a house, you're pretty much social distance anyways, and you know it never stopped, and you know we just see like in my neighborhood, 30, 40 houses have popped up over the past 3-4 months. It's really amazing. So interest rates, what's going to stop real estate? Well, just rising interest rates, if they go up 1 or 2 points, is that really going to be enough to stop it?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Fury Gold Mines is a Canada-focused exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable high-grade gold assets with major drill campaigns planned across its 3.5 million ounce portfolio. Fury is led by a management team of proven explorers and developers with a track record of success in advancing and financing project development. Fury Gold Mines is well positioned to create value for investors with low-risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under the ticker FURY. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com. That's furygoldmines.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
To me, the real estate market has a huge lag. Like most people have a 3 or 5 year mortgage. That's like, you know, 85% of people who have mortgages, like they go up for renewal. And so there's always going to be a big delay. So when rates go up right now, or when they start to go up, there's still going to be another, you know, 3 to 5 years before they come up for renewal. They get that new higher rate. Potentially, if there's tough times in the economy and they don't have good credit, they don't have a job, their business went under, they might not be able to get the mortgage. So real estate's got a big lag in when it kind of tops out. I obviously increasing rates will put some pressure on things, but I was talking about the real estate market using the stock market, because a lot of people can't afford to get into homes. And I mean, a lot of people can go in and buy all these different REIT ETFs. You can own all kinds of interesting pieces of real estate. You can own self-storage funds where they pay big dividends. There's all, you can buy international real estate, you know, domestic real estate, commercial, multifamily stuff. It's really amazing. And when you sort them, you look at them, some of these REITs are paying up to 8.5% dividend, and they pay out monthly and quarterly. So it's really interesting, a way for people to take advantage of this real estate market. It's still in a boom. It's still rising. You can buy, you know, $100 worth of one of these ETFs and just pick up the monthly dividend, and you can pick up on the appreciation. You can flip it in a heartbeat. You don't have to swap keys. You don't need a lawyer. So there's a whole new angle. I mean, it's not new. It's been around for forever, but real estate ETFs are a really interesting angle that I'm trying to, you know, let other people realize they can, you can take part in this real estate bubble. You just got to be cautious with it. Follow the charts. But it's really interesting how anyone can get involved in real estate, even if you have $100.
Yeah. So the securitization of real estate has effectively opened up the market to a whole new group of investors who would never have had any real estate exposure at all in their portfolios. And now, like you say, for $100, you too can be a real estate investor, right?
Exactly. You could be an international real estate investor. You can own stuff for everywhere. It's pretty amazing. I think it's great for millennials, like younger people who don't have the type of money. A lot of people don't want to buy homes, but they want to take advantage of making money in the real estate. A lot of millennials want to rent. But this way, you can just go buy shares in these and just park them aside and keep an eye on the charts from a technical standpoint. And you've got your foot in the door. You could be renting, but still own all kinds of real estate with a simple ETF purchase.
Yeah. I mean, you lose a certain amount of the tax benefits, but on the other hand, you get liquidity, which traditional real estate investments are not known for. You know, you buy a house even as an investment, and, you know, it's one of those things. When you buy it, everybody says, oh, this is the greatest house. It's just wonderful. Then when you go to sell it, they say, this thing's a piece of garbage. How did you pay that much for it?
Yeah.
Prices have been going up so quickly, especially here in Florida, that everybody's a real estate genius now, Chris. So, but what about the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency geniuses? They're getting a little taste of volatility again for a change, aren't they?
Yeah, we're seeing a good little pullback. It's about 16% in Bitcoin over the last three or four trading days. But the reality is it's not out of the norm. In fact, if you look at the last 1, 2, 3 pullbacks before this one, the one in early this year in January was a 30%. The one in February was 22%. The one in March was 17%. Here we are in April, it's a 16% pullback. The pullbacks are getting smaller. They're getting tighter. The chart pattern here is very explosive. It could jump to 74, potentially spike up to 100,000 in a heartbeat. It could also drop to about 35,000 in a few trading sessions as well. So this type of chart pattern, the type of momentum and the herd mentality that's involved in Bitcoin, this chart is definitely an interesting one to watch. It's not something I think you want to be dumping a lot of money in just because it's very, very volatile. But it's in a raging bull market. Everyone's piling in. It's oversold, as you and I are speaking, down at support. So, I mean, the odds are it's gonna probably have a bounce here, but it carries a ton of risk. It doesn't matter how you cut it. It's a very risky play here.
You think it's really risky? So if we have like a major collapse like we had in 2017, which wouldn't surprise me, especially now, because I think there's a way to short Bitcoin or drive it lower through through Coinbase.
And futures, I think, too.
And futures and ETFs. But Coinbase really, you know, it's down from its high. It's probably the hottest new issue of the year. Where do you see that going?
The new IPO Coinbase, that one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's funny because you look at Coinbase and you look at the Robinhood trading accounts. So Robinhood shows you the top 100 most held stocks, and whatever's on that list is usually at the end of its life stage. It's usually topping out. It's about to crash or it is crashing. The masses always kind of are holding the wrong stocks at the wrong time. Markets have always been like that. There isn't a single gold stock on that list, which is exciting, which means, you know, we got a long ways to go before the gold market is overdone. And you look at the coin symbol, in one trading day, it was right up near the top as one of the top held stocks. And what did it do? It opened high and it absolutely crashed, with the general public holding it and piling in near the hot top. Just like GME, just like AMC, you get a massive pop and you look at the volume, everybody piles in right at the open at the highest price, and then it crashes down. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of headwinds for that stock. The general public just piled in, they drove it up. It was supposed to open at 250, went up to 430 or something like that. And then crashed back down. So a lot of damage is done. When the herd mentality get into it, they actually damage the stock for a long time.
Yeah, well, when it gaps up like that, it's going to fill the gap, right? So
exactly. Yeah. And there's big, when you have that much instant money as an early investor too, I mean, who doesn't want to cash out? The smart money, the big guys are going to be like, well, I could make, 50, 60, 80% in a day. I think I might just do that. So I'll buy it back later.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's like, if Coinbase crashes, if they can make it crash one day, it could crash the cryptos with it, right?
Yeah, it could potentially. It'll hurt them for sure.
It might be temporary. But then again, if it's an overbought condition and they crash it at that point, who knows how low it can go, which is a lot similar to what happened in 2017. But one thing I know from every crypto trader, they have no recollection of the crash of 2017. That saw Bitcoin go from nearly 20,000 down to, I think, 2,900 was its low, 3,200. I was a buyer at 2,200 and never got there. I missed the boat, I admit it. But that was my number when I was going to pile in. But the fact is, not one Bitcoin trader will even acknowledge that 2017 even occurred.
Yeah. Well, that's because they were super wealthy a month before and then they lost it all. Who wants to talk about the past when it's not positive? Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, I think a lot of people who got into Bitcoin are a lot of younger people who have also seen the stock market go nothing but up. So now they held through, the 2020 crash in stocks. It recovered. They held through the $18,000 drop in Bitcoin. It recovered and they're back up near the highs. And both of these have done it very, very quickly, really. But eventually it's not going to be like that, right? Things drag out. You look at the NASDAQ, it traded sideways for like 15, 16 years from the highs. Like you were underwater for a long time and commodities do that. I kind of see like crypto is almost like a commodity. I think they can go dormant for a long time. Right now they're just, feeding frenzy, but when things go out of favor, they lose favor and it takes years and years for them to come back.
Yep. Yep. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. Maybe they're right. And maybe it's replaced gold as the ultimate fear trade because gold's manipulated. Everyone knows that. But to think that Bitcoin can't be manipulated is kind of naive. But hey, maybe they're right. I'm willing to withhold judgment. But when you see a parabolic chart, kind of know what's going to happen on the other end of it, right? Chris, have you ever seen a parabolic chart that never came back down to Earth?
Not that I know of. It'll usually come back at least halfway of whatever it did. That's usually like the best case scenario. Worst case is it gives it all back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking from September 2020 to 2 days ago. Ethereum was at almost $400 and it hit $2,500, which is an even better performance than what Bitcoin's done since that time. Bitcoin really can't even get close to that, I think. I don't remember exactly what, but we find that out easy enough.
Well, it's such a big price. It's a big price ticket now, right? It's not a penny stock type of movement anymore where it only has to move 10 cents and it goes up 80%. Now it's got to move huge amounts. So the smaller the value on something, usually the more volatile there are. That's why people love to trade small cap stocks. They're low priced and that means they can move very quickly percentage wise. It's hard to see a $200 stock or $800 stock move, 100%. I mean, we've been seeing it in the last couple of years with some pretty nutty stock charts, but this isn't the norm, this type of price action we've seen over the last year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very true. It was around 12,000 back in September. So it quintupled, but Ethereum went even further than that. So a little bit further. Yeah. Interesting times for sure. So Chris, we want to subscribe to the Technical Traders. How do we do this? How do we connect with you on the web?
Sure. Yeah. Anyone can follow my work on thetechnicaltraders.com. And every morning I share a video. I go over the charts. I draw on them. I explain what's going on, why, what to expect with any open positions we have. And more or less, you kind of learn technical analysis. You get an understanding for why things are moving the way they are and where they should go or likely to go. And then whenever I do a trade, I share my ETF trades with subscribers. So it's pretty good. Pretty good service. I think you really get a feel for the market on the big emotional days when things are rallying or selling off. The analysis kind of soothes the soul, and you kind of get a feeling that it's not out of the norm, this stuff. It's not a don't panic. This is actually what we want to see. So I kind of just hold people's hands and we just navigate these markets kind of one day at a time.
Yeah. And I think that's what you got to be doing one day at a time, because you never know what's going to happen next. That's for sure. Hey, got a question for Chris. Send me an email. I'll forward it off to him. KL@KerryLutz. That's the email address. And make sure you sign up for a free newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Chris, great having you on. We will talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Kerry. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network. Now more than ever.